Good morning. We are delighted to be with you this morning. Arundel has had a very significant part in my faith journey. You know, when you just roll 20 years off your tongue like it's nothing, but Arundel was a church that believed in me 20 years ago. And I think that's because you believe in a big God who does big things through ordinary people. And so I'm so thankful that you've traveled with me through the years and seen the biggest miracle in my life, which is Jesus, and the second biggest miracle, which is Andres. That's a big miracle 15 years into the... That's him back there. That good-looking man back there, that's the second biggest miracle, Andres. And we're honored how God has brought our lives together. As you've heard, our two kids are here. You may have heard them rocking it out during the worship time in the back there. So thank you for being part of what God is doing beyond the four walls of your church. We belong to a movement that is just bigger than ourselves. And that movement, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we do work in what we call 5S regions of the world. Andres and I live in what we call the Caribbean Sun. And we define ourselves as a movement by a vision prayer that goes like this. Oh God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, and mission-empowered people making disciples everywhere. And so, Father, we would just keep praying on that. Today, we would say to you, we long for you. We long for you in the places that we are conscious of our need for you. But we long for you in the rusty parts of our life, those little corners of our life where we don't even know we need a touch from you. Come and transform us so that we would be always centered on Christ, that we would be overwhelmed and empowered by the Spirit, and that we would just naturally make disciples wherever we go because of you. Come. Amen. It's 10 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, and I find myself ringing the doorbell of the recovery home. It is home to 180 women who are all defined by two definitions. One is they've been completely abandoned by their families, and the second is that they need some kind of psychiatric medicine to make a go of life. Each of these 180 women know what it's like to be exploited, trafficked, how to fend for your own life, and how to simply be someone who is forgotten. We come this morning as a small ministry. I'm the only one ringing the doorbell because everyone else shows up late. And we realize that all of these women need a touch from the Father. They need a conversation with someone to remember they're important. They need to know that the Father would give them a really big hug in their need. But of the 180 women, we will only be working with 15 this morning in our Alas ministry. We've started a small muffin business, and 5 of the women will go and make muffins this morning, and the other 10 will come to a discipleship class. But before we do that, we have a devotional with everyone. To the untrained eye, this is a chaotic moment where there's lots of sounds and lots of getting up and down. But to the person who can see what the Spirit is doing, it's actually kind of extraordinary. This morning, I remind the woman that to be a disciple of Christ means you will make disciples. Now, it seems like a kind of funny message to tell 180 women who live in an institution from which most will never be reintegrated into society, and most of them never ever leave. But they're reminded that they can serve God by serving one another, and as they receive from the Word, they can share that with another one of these 180 women. So we show them that disciples make disciples by washing one another's feet. We invite volunteers up, and we as leaders of this ministry wash people's feet. Washing feet in this context is also very interesting, seeming somewhat chaotic at times as well. But as I look around me, the women who we are washing their feet, I am reminded of what an extraordinary follower of Jesus looks like. Trini got up at 4 a.m. this morning to make sure that the laundry would be started on time so all of the 180 women could have clean clothes. I look at Indira, who was up most of the night helping a woman who has bed sores and is just going through some anguish. I look at Nayeli, who spent all day yesterday just helping women sit down in the washroom and stand back up again. These are the extraordinary followers of Jesus, maybe found in what we would call an unlikely place. So let me define what an extraordinary follower of Jesus Christ is. They're sometimes in the places we don't expect to find them. Recently, I was challenged in my prayer life to have an extraordinary prayer life. Now, it's not what we think. It means just doing one extra thing beyond the ordinary. For some of us, that means actually praying 5 minutes a day, just saying, I'm doing nothing, so before I fall asleep at night, I will take 5 minutes out to talk with Jesus. It's extra beyond your ordinary. Some of us, it means a day of fasting a week. It's just one extra thing which you can't do in your ordinary strength. You have to depend on God. It's just one extra thing. So I would like to apply that concept of extraordinary prayer to extraordinary followers of Jesus Christ. Those who are simply willing to do one extra thing out of the ordinary. One thing that takes you beyond your comfort zone. One thing that you can't do in your own strength. One thing that's not natural. Just deciding, I will step out and trust the Lord for that. Extraordinary followers of Jesus Christ are just simply ready and willing to do that extra thing God calls them to do. And so we see this in the early church. In the book of Acts 11, the passage that was read to this morning, we remember a growing church with growing pains, and a growing revelation of who God is. And so I want to take their example, and I will share, I'm excited to share with you this morning some of the things God is doing in Mexico, and take it from this, based on the book of Acts 11. The word of the Lord. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but not only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. You see, the people of God for generations had believed a subtle lie, and that lie was that God was more interested about them than about the Gentiles. They believed that they were okay just looking inward. And all of a sudden, the Spirit has filled them, and they're called to do something extraordinary, to go to the Gentiles, to go to Greeks, and tell them about Jesus Christ. And the Lord is with them, and people are turning to God. This begs the question, when am I willing to do one extra thing? When am I willing to go beyond my comfort zone and tell someone else about Jesus? Sometimes I will tell you this, in my own personal life, as I look at the many needs in our justice and compassion ministries, in poverty, in trafficking, in these situations that are so dark and horrible, I find myself saying, if I don't do it, no one else will. Let me define that as something that is not extraordinary. That is something to define by my own strength, by fear, if I don't do it. When that motivates me, it's not natural. It's not part of our DNA as Christians to have those kind of questions. But when we're so in love with Jesus, so saturated, going so deep in his love, it's just natural for us to go wide and share with other people. We are in love with a generous God, and so it's just in our DNA. It's the currency of the kingdom, just to keep on sharing with other people and going beyond what we can do in our own strength. On a very simple, basic level, my husband and I have been challenged this week to make more friends when we go to the mall or we go to a restaurant, and some of that has been like a bit risky for us to ask openly if we can pray for people. And it's been scary and it's been wonderful to see how God has opened those doors. One more thing than what I can do in my own strength. And so this passage continues, and it says, news of this reaches the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I want to be like Barnabas. I want to be the kind of person that sees when Jesus is on the move and calling us out of our comfort zones, that he encourages and empowers people to do that more and more. In fact, the story that continues, and it says that Barnabas goes and looks for Saul, you know, like that tyrant that was totally against them. And the Greek verb is actually like he hunts him down. He's so convinced that God has his hand on Saul that he goes out of his way to another city to find him. That's what we call an extraordinary follower of Jesus, someone who is willing to look out for us all. So this morning I want to tell you what God is doing in Mexico. I consider you very much a part of what God is doing as people step outside of their comfort zones. Many of you have prayed for us over the years in a ministry called Braveheart. Now, Braveheart started way back in the day, exactly 10 years ago, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, when people like myself were sipping vanilla lattes in little cute coffee shops, talking about how we would change the world through our philosophical ideas. When I saw kids that were walking by selling cigarettes and candy and bracelets, and just felt the Lord very gently say to me, "Come. Come and join me on the street. Come and join me with the kids that don't have anything and see what I am doing." And I took the Lord up on his offer, and there's been no turning back. I took a kid's Bible and began to sit on the street corner with kids and told them about Jesus. The university students in those coffee shops came out and joined me. And in fact, some of them will tell as part of their testimony, they were actually angry that I would go and reach out to the needy people of their country when they felt that's what they should be doing. And some of them would hear the stories about Jesus turning water to wine. I'd say, "He's your kind of guy. I knew you'd love him. Look what he does." Or about Jesus healing, and they'd say, "You don't really believe that. You're an educated woman." I'd say, "Try it. You have a sore throat, you have a hangnail, let's try it. Put it before God, let's pray that he would heal you." And they began to encounter God. Let's fast forward 10 years. Some of those students that came out in the beginning, the university students, and said, "You know what, Heather? I am anti-gringo or anti-Yankee. I'm anti-Christian. I'm anti-institution. So I'm just coming to your cultural event with no idea of hanging out." Well, they're the students that encountered God through a children's Bible on a street corner, went to seminary, they've married missionaries. And in fact, yesterday, one of those students, him and Chewy and Rebecca, have been married for 4 years, and they just had their baby girl last night. And so it's so wonderful to see what God has done in and through their lives. We began to work with indigenous communities on the street, and many of them would describe themselves as the forgotten peoples that no one remembers. We were invited into their lives. We gave educational help. We taught literacy to kids who don't go to school. We took help back to their communities. Nowadays, Braveheart looks much better than it did in the beginning. When I led homework help, it was true chaos. There were kids running everywhere. There was markers flying over our heads. The educational help wasn't really that great. But nowadays, the Lord's raised up a group of about 40 people that help with the educational help, and they're like really trained teachers. They have these little plans of education for each of the children that come out. They break bread at the end of homework help, and the little kids pray for one another. And I would love, Arundel Alliance, I would love for you to hear those prayers. They're like, "My mom was robbed this morning. Jesus, help my mom. My dad's been drinking for 3 days. Jesus, help my dad." They're real prayers. And Jesus is meeting those little people as they come before him and pray together. One of the things we didn't expect was to actually meet an unreached group in Mexico through Braveheart. And that's just the journey the Lord's been taking us on as we step one more and one more step into the extraordinary of what only he can do. You see, we met the Huichol group. The people from the Huichol group just became our friends and invited us back to their parties in their communities. That's about a 17-hour drive, and a drive which I've actually popped 4 different tires on a van to go up. It's a little treacherous. 10 years ago, in this community where it's illegal to be a Christian, where you will be kicked out of the community if you believe anything other than the traditional beliefs, a man took his sick son down to a hospital. It was there that Roger's son passed away. Roger, a strong man with several wives in the community, was a broken man with his son in his arms. At that same hospital, a Jesus follower saw this man broken holding his child and said, "What can I do for you?" He didn't offer him $10. He didn't offer a prayer. Roger said, "I need to get back to my community, 4 hours." The man said, "I got to pick up. I'll drive you back home." When this Jesus follower got back to the community, he could see that no one here had ever even heard the name of Jesus. And so he began to tell over a fire as people were making tortillas for the meal about Jesus, starting the Old Testament and going to the New. He stayed for days and explained to this family the good, good news of Jesus. And Roger and his family took Jesus at his word and they believed in him. Well, time passed and there was much rub in the community because as the corn harvest was planted, Roger and his family didn't call on the corn god, they called on Jesus. So the community started isolating them, when there was a big party and a lot of drinking, they didn't participate, and the rub came until one day the community burned down their house, took Roger's wives away from him, and dragged him across the community. They were being the first Christian family expelled from this community. But Jesus is on the move. So Roger and his family came down and they started a Christian community of Wichol people that were expelled from their communities. In May, a couple of us had a meal with Roger, and he was asked the question, "You were just brand new in your faith, like weeks old in your faith when you were expelled from your community. Didn't you want to take that back and say, I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore?" He said, "No, because we had heard in the Psalms that you will be persecuted if you follow Jesus." So in my mind, it was just another check. Yeah, Jesus is who he says he is. He promised persecution. We're being persecuted. This is the real deal. So we didn't know all this when we began to go into the Wichol community that Christians are expelled and we are a Christian group. But such is the nature of the kingdom that when the light shines, the darkness can't shut it down. So we've been sending people in, and we began to pray for people, and people are being healed. And we sent our director in, and she taught in one of their schools for 3 months. And kids that didn't go to school came to her and said, "Can I come to your house at night and learn to read and write?" So she turns a candle on, there's no electricity, and teaches the little girls who will never get to go to school how to read and write. And the little girls say to her, "You know, I don't go to school because I'm the least important person in my family. But I see up on that corner that you have a book with shiny edges, and I know that book is illegal here. So can you teach me to read and write through the book with the shiny edges?" And they did. They learned how to read and write through the book with shiny edges, and they found out that Jesus loves them, and they gave their lives to Jesus. The little girls, the least important in their community, put their faith in Jesus. So we know as a ministry that people are finding out that we're Christian, and we think we're about to be kicked out of the community. So we go in for one last big hurrah. We ask them, "Can we bring in as many doctors as possible, maybe like 70 doctors, and serve your people and all the people in the communities nearby?" We think we're about to get kicked out. In fact, the man emceeing the meeting where we're asking for permission has been the one that's burned down the houses of people over these 10 years that have decided to follow Jesus. He puts his hand over the microphone and says to us, "It's okay. Bring your people and heal my people." We can't help but think that these men like Jamie, who are willing to persecute but yet say things like that, are giving us a prophetic message of what God would do through us. Oh, I'd just like to add there, if you want to pray for Jamie, we pray for young people all the time, but Jamie's well advanced in years, and I would just love Jamie to be our Saul, Paul story of someone who persecuted and actually bows his knee to the King of Kings. That'd be awesome. So this past November, we went in with a medical brigade, and you people of Arundel were praying with us. I just want to say a huge thank you that you put up slides before your service and you pray for us. I mean, even though those are just little quick prayers that you offer up, are there big heavy things that you carry on your heart through the week? I am so, so honored that you would walk with us in this journey. The day before the medical brigade happened in November, our director, Paulina, was called into the community. We were pretty sure that they were about to cancel on us. This is very inconvenient because we have a big group of doctors who have asked for a week of vacation 6 months in advance, and they're going to cancel on us the day before. They had barricaded their highway, the Wichol had barricaded their highway, very upset with the government and NGOs for not really listening to them. And Paulina tells me the story that 6 weeks ago, before she went in to meet the authorities, she was facing some serious fear. She's praying about it. I'm like, "Lord, I'm really scared. I'm this tiny woman. There's a big group of men I'm going to meet with tomorrow, and I'm really afraid." She falls asleep, and she has a dream. In her dream, she walks up to this raging river, and she says, "As I came closer to the river, I got tiny, 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 just as small as you can imagine. And the waves of this river looked ginormous to me. And God said to me in my dream, 'Turn around and look behind you.' And she turns around and she sees this huge army standing behind her. And God says to her in her dream, 'You are not alone. I have people praying for you.'" And the river opens and Paulina walks through. So the next morning she woke up, caught the bus, pretty sure that it wouldn't be canceled, went in to meet the authorities who canceled the brigade on her. However, The bus driver from the community did not know that, and he went down the hill past the barricade and met our bus with the medical doctors and brought them back up. Much to the surprise of the authorities, there was a group of like 70 people there to serve their community. So the medical brigade was not canceled. I want to encourage you, Arendelle Alliance, when we pray, it's just not a good wish. Everything bows their knee to Jesus Christ. So as you pray for a medical brigade, for people like Paulina, for the Braveheart, for the Huichol, the Lord hears our prayers and answers, and we stand as that army in the dream of Paulina behind her, praying for her as God opens that river. Let me tell you just one story from the medical brigade. Many of the doctors that come are very young, just starting their careers. And we had a young dentist who was receiving Huichol women and attending their teeth. One of those women in the lineup had experienced a facial paralysis 6 years earlier. So she couldn't move half of her face since her husband had passed away. And she'd been in a depression for 6 years, just wanting to die. That's what she said. The first thing she said to the dentist attending her was, "I just want to die." She was speaking through an interpreter from Huichol into Spanish. And the doctor, the dentist, was overwhelmed with love when she heard this message. She said, I need someone to translate this for me. She said, "You are beautiful. You are made in the image of God and his likeness. He has gifts for you. He's called you to do something, and whatever he's called you to do, he's made you capable to do it. And he loves you." Well, the woman who had been unable to move this side of her face began to have a full face smile. As Jesus was touching her heart and healing her heart with a message of love, he touched her face and she began to smile. After she was attended, she said, "I'm willing to get more help." Her daughter showed up at the door and said, "What just happened? My mom's smiling. I haven't seen her smile for 6 years." So her daughter also heard about how much God loves her. These are just some of the simple stories of what happened when extraordinary disciples, followers of Jesus, are just simply willing to do one extra thing. Maybe this seems grandiose or a little bit out there, but the Lord is doing the same thing amongst us. As we simply trust him, and for one thing I can't do in my own strength, I'll step out and trust him. I haven't been telling when the photos should come up. Let's shoot some photos up there. Thank you. This is our Alice ministry that I talked about at the beginning when the girls are in small groups in our discipleship class. That day they were learning about the Holy Spirit filling us to overflow. That's our muffin or dessert ministry, which God has kind of touched. And this is Rosie, their director. Some of you have prayed with us for Rosie. Rosie went to be with Jesus 2 months ago after a life well lived. Rosie, just to give you a brief testimony, spent her life on the streets as a kid, was in prison 7 different times, and met Jesus the last time she was in, came out, started a home for kids on the street, and ended up working with specifically people with psychiatric needs. And one of Rosie's things was always, the prize of serving Jesus is serving Jesus. And Rosie is serving Jesus full time right before him. And this is our Braveheart ministry on the weekends. We do an outreach to kids who spend their little lives as adults sallying and doing big people things. They have a moment in the afternoon where they get to make crafts and hear about Jesus and play. And there's our educational help, kids learning some vowels there. And here's the Huichol community that I told you about. Our director is wearing the white skirt and is oftentimes mistaken to be a Huichol person, actually. Feel free to just keep going through those as I talk. Thank you. So I want to say to you this morning, thank you. Thank you for journeying with us. Thank you for praying with us. And my prayer to you for you today is just as God is doing extraordinary things in different parts of the world, so I trust that today, as we step out in faith, that he continues to do the extraordinary through us. And to him be all the glory. I'd like to pray with you this morning. Thank you so much. Spirit of the living God, thank you that it is about you. We're thankful to see the fruit. We're thankful to see the things you do when we step out in faith. But more than anything, we are thankful for you. Today, as your people, we would say, we believe that you have the capacity and the power to forgive the immensity of our sins, to take on our brokenness, our anxiety, and bring healing to our lives. And if you can heal our hearts, surely you can touch our bodies, our pocketbook, our family relationships. Surely you can give us that risk and that strength and that courage to just go one step beyond what we can possibly do in our own strength. And for that, we want to say a really big thank you. We also want to surrender our lives one more time, saying that you, as our creator, who brought us into life and existence, you get the final word. We surrender our lives to you and say you get our, when you're going to take us home, where you're going to take us, how it's going to look. So would you be glorified through our lives one more time? Would you take us on new journeys on this 2020? And more than anything, Jesus Christ, would you make yourself famous amongst the nations as we are faithful to you in our context? We love you, God. You're so good. Amen.